We're going to reconvene. It is 11:25. All right. So we left off with Mr. Hendel's answer to Mr. Loomis's statement.
Mr. Chairman, prior to going forward, I would just like to make sure that for the record, that everybody understands that Mr. Loomis is he's there today with this statement in the capacity of a private citizen to make a political statement, having nothing to do with his capacity of being the chief deputy district attorney for my office.
Noted. Thank you very much, DA Langer.
You're welcome.
Mr. Chairman, I have a suggestion. It seems that maybe while we're on this topic, we could ask each of the candidates maybe just what their thoughts are on election integrity, if it's an issue here in Story County, and maybe some of their ideas to ensure continued election integrity or to improve election integrity.
Yeah, that was actually one of the questions I had, so we can go ahead and ask them. Do we need to... Do you feel like you have a thorough answer for Mr. Hendel regarding election integrity? Or do you want to ask him again?
I think maybe since the focus on the last one was specific to a conversation.
Gotcha.
Probably the right thing to do would be to let him address that question specifically.
Gotcha. All right. So we will start and we will continue the order. We'll go with Dory, Jason, and then Jim. So the question would be first to Dory, and I'll ask the question that I had. It's basically a two-part question. Do you feel there is a... Dory, you're good? I'm sorry. Before I ask the question, can you hear a story?
Yeah, I can hear
okay.
You.
So my official question is, one... do you think there is an election integrity issue in Story County? And I'll let you answer that first, and then I'll ask you my second part after.
I've worked for elections now. I feel that we've never had an issue with anything. We run it professionally. Smoothly, and we run a clean election. We've never had a problem.
Okay, I'm going to re-clarify my question, and I apologize. That's my fault. The state has implemented some rules and regulations, such as mail-in balloting. So as far as Story County goes, do you feel that there are election concerns in Story County, maybe not at our hand, but maybe due to some of these states' rules and regulations? Is that a little more clear?
Yeah. We would just go by the law. I mean, there's not going to be... what the law is, I will follow.
Noted. Thank you. I'll leave my second part would be, you know, if you thought there were concerns, you know, what would our options be? You know, such as maybe paper ballots or looking at other voting machines, maybe recommendations to the commission.
I definitely wouldn't at this point on the voting machines. I think we don't have enough time. Definitely would be something to talk about after the election. We've just never had any problems. I,
okay.
I, you know, it's going to be, if it's mail if it's machines, it's going to be, I will follow.
All right. Thank you, Dory. Mr. Burton?
Jason Burton, for the record. Right now, I think some confidence in the county residents has been shaken by national issues we've had. I think everyone was a little concerned. My area that I find concerning is the mail-in ballots and people being able to mail in and still go in person and possibly cast two votes. So I think where I would focus on is by utilizing my auditing experience to make sure that there's no duplication of voting that's happening in this county in any way, shape, or form.
Okay, thank you.
Jim Hindle. I echo what Jason says, and I actually echo a little bit what Dory says. To me, the system where I have question is with mail-in ballots. The root of the problem with mail-in ballots is the voter registration rolls. Mm-hmm. And we know that the law only allows certain activities in order to purge people who have moved, people who have died, people who are inactive. So all mail-in ballots are going to go to everyone in this county that is on the active voter registration roll. There are regulations that are being written. The question is whether they will be issued in time to actually do a review of voter registration rolls or to take some action in order to, for us to be able to clean up the rolls so that we are mailing ballots only to those people that we know are active voters in Story County that exist. In terms of voter integrity in Story County, again, I have great praise for the team that has done the elections here. There were some concerns with voters within Story County of the 122,000 that were highlighted and submitted to the Secretary of State for investigation. Again, the clerk treasurer was very open to meet with me and go through those, and she had very good answers for a number of them. And at the same time, there was also some frustration in that the clerk treasurer does not have investigative powers and relies upon the Secretary of State and the Attorney General to do that. All the clerk treasurer can do, just like any citizen can do, is highlight the issues to the Secretary of State. And that, I believe, is a responsibility of the clerk treasurer to do if we do believe that there is an inability to keep our voter rolls as clean as we need them to be.
Thank you. I'll just move down the line. Do you have a question you'd like to ask the candidates?
I think so one of my questions is a little more of a general question, but that would be for all three of the candidates. What are some of their top priorities if they were appointed?
Okay, we'll start with Dory. Can you hear us, Dory?
Yeah, sorry about that. My top priorities will be to run the clerk treasurer's office as we have been doing. We've been, we go by the statutes. We've always ran a clean election. I just feel that, there's more, there's a lot more to that office than just the election. And we will always go by the law. We don't have the say on how the election is going to run. It's set by statute.
All right. I don't want to cut you off, and I know there may be a delay. So I'll just ask if your answer is complete. Are you done answering?
Yes. Okay, sorry. I think there
no
is.
Problem.
Sorry about that.
No That's okay. I'll just continue to ask if your answer is complete. But Mr. Verdon, you're next.
My top priorities, number one, would be get acclimated to the position, make sure I have a full understanding of all the statutes. So me not being a politician currently, I'm coming in with a lot of business sense, a business mind, running companies, so I need to sit it down and really learn the position and make sure I understand all the moving pieces. So that'd be number one top priority for me.
Thank you.
Jim Hindle. Yes, I think there are a couple of priorities coming into the position. Obviously, first and foremost is getting acclimated, understanding the ins and outs, the summary description that was put in the announcement. And as Ms. Stevens has said, it's a lot more complex than people think, especially the finance aspect of it. And so I think there are priorities that need to be addressed in terms of making sure that we are managing our bank accounts correctly with fees and processing and expeditious deposits. I think that there has been a lot of work done on this, although there's been a lot of comfort, as I understand it, with the process that has been done. But I also understand that there are some issues with the bank of record. With fees and with some actions. And so I think there needs to be some negotiation done for further efficiency and lower cost, or some review of what needs to be done if there are other options that can serve the county better. I think we need to work with our investment advisors and make sure that with the current economic environment, we are well placed so that our funds are not at risk and are earning the most that they can, so that we have the greatest utility of the amount of funds collected for fees and taxes. Obviously, we also have to look at the elections, and as Dory's absolutely correct, that's only one aspect. It's a big aspect of the role this year, and any interim coming in would have to make sure again that that is being scheduled, that is being executed properly, and at the same time, making sure that the office is able to take care of the other business that the public expects. And so we still have to do the reporting. We still have to collect the property taxes. The clerk, county, the district court is still going to be in session as required. All those things have to be managed. So again, it goes with leadership. And I think that's another aspect. And any transition is making sure that staff understands the personality of the person coming in, the expectations, as well as is there to help and support, because anybody coming into this role is going to rely heavily on the experienced and capable staff that's there, the team that's there, and making sure that they fit in well and build on that environment and make that environment one of trust, such that everybody can do the job that they know they need to do, as opposed to worry about who's this new person coming in and watching chaos or transitional turmoil. That would be a tremendous objective, is to reduce that to a minimum and get on with the ongoing business of the office.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, I'm gonna move on.
Jim, as our clerk treasurer, would you be continuing your activities on the state and or the federal level in the election process as you have in the past?
Jim Hindle, at this point, yes. To the extent that I have been able to fulfill that and my activity in the party, my activity with the local party and local politics, clearly, if appointed to this office, the trust and the responsibility to the public and fulfilling the duties and responsibilities of the office would be number one. And I would have to make sure that they are not compromised by any activity that I would take on. But I don't believe that there is anything legally, ethically, that would bind me to not continue to pursue what I personally believe is our constitutional right to be involved in the political process that selects our government. However, there would have to be a sensitivity, and I would very much manage myself to make sure that there would be no spillover or anything that could come and affect any role, responsibility, or the public's trust in the office of clerk treasurer. That would be number one.
But there could be some crossover potentially.
There could be crossover. I see that that is going to be separate, and again, that would be a very strong role of my own, accountability to myself and my principles to make sure that bias that I have does not unduly or inappropriately influence any activity within the office.
I'd be curious. I believe it's a proper question, but of each one of the candidates, if you're not selected, for example, and appointed to this position, what would be your intentions for the election process starting in March?
Since I'm here, would you like me to answer first?
It's up to our chairman.
Yeah, that's right.
Go ahead.
Okay. Jim Hindle, again, my intention would be to very much study and run for this office because I believe it is an important one within this county. I believe it is part of my character and my principles that you put your money where your mouth is. And again, not bringing my biases or my political inclinations in and managing the office by the statute and by the latitude and responsibility that the regulations provide. But there is the responsibility to bring my personality and my principles to bear. And so if I'm going to open my mouth, I better step up and say I can do a job to help this county manage itself and provide provide to the expectations of the citizens of this county for the things this office does to support them. So I would clearly intend to run for that.
Thank you.
Sorry, long-winded answer.
Mr. Burden?
Jason Burden. My plan is to run for the office if not appointed. So that's a short answer. I don't have as much wind as he has.
That's a question. I appreciate
that. I get things done. I just get them done.
Still moves the boat.
Dory? The question was, if you did not get appointed, would you still run for the position of clerk treasurer?
Yes, I'm confident enough that I would definitely run.
Noted. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, I have a follow-up question that's kind of marginally related, so I think maybe it's appropriate to follow right now. So, you know, going into this year, it's likely to be a whirlwind. Not only is it an election year, but we're in budget planning. We're going to labor negotiations. We're looking at abatements that'll be expiring in the near future. There's a lot going on. And additionally, with this office being up for election this year, that's a unique situation because while being the registrar of voters, there's also a responsibility to keep it at arm's length, right? So there's no propriety in running the election. And I just like to hear from each candidate, and I was not necessarily going to ask whether you're planning on running or not, but if you were to run, how you would balance a candidacy running for office with all of this stuff that this particular position is going to have to take on this year.
I'm going to start with Dory.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Dory, did you hear the question?
I believe I did. Can you repeat it?
Yeah, and I won't repeat it verbatim. I'll give you the Cliff's Note version. So it's going to be a busy year. And then given the kind of the peculiarity of if you were in this interim position, there's a little extra care that needs to be taken to make sure the election is done properly at arm's length so that there's no impropriety in how the election is done. And I'd just like to hear from you how you would manage both a candidacy running for office as well as kind of the extra burden or all the busy things that are going to be needed from this position of an interim clerk treasurer.
You know, I would. The job has to be done. I would definitely follow the criteria of what I can and cannot do. I would be responsible. I mean, the job would be number one for me.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Burton?
Yeah, my approach would be, it's kind of like Dory said, if you're doing the job really well, I think the, you know, running is secondary, you know, so the proof will be in the pudding of you doing a really good job in this interim position is going to be campaigning. Okay, so that's, you're going to be sending the message of, you know, what you can do. So hopefully the community will learn about me, they'll understand my drive, what I can get done. And that will be helping me during campaigning during that time.
Thank you.
Jim Hindle, yes, can I say ditto? clearly, this job is one of having a lot of balls in the air to begin with, and time management, priority management, effective team building and making sure the team has good direction. That's just part of the prerequisite, I believe, for the job at its face. And then you add on the fact that, yes, demonstrating the ability to keep this organization humming is first and foremost. And then clearly you're going to be, you know, whoever's running and doing the job at the same time will have some evenings and weekends you dedicated to public service and not so much walking the dog and taking care of other things. My old house that needs repair might have to wait for a while.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any other questions for the candidates at this time?
I don't have questions. I will have some thoughts to share eventually, but I think my questions have been satisfied.
Okay. Vice Chairman, do you have any other questions at this time?
I do.
Okay.
This may come kind of out of left field, but I'm curious to hear from each of the candidates about your openness to within proper guidance and parameters from the state, what your openness is to exploring and implementing payment systems that allow us to receive payments in digital or cryptocurrencies.
So, Dory, you'll be first. Did you hear that question? Dory?
I think you're on mute.
If you can hear us, you're muted. All right, let's go to Jason. So I'll paraphrase. Are you pro-crypto?
How would I ask?
Jason Burton. Number one, I'm going to be open to working with the state, with everybody within the organization, just everyone that's around me. Part of this position is having your ears wide open. You know, God gave you two ears and one mouth for a reason. And it's going to do a lot of listening on my behalf, you know, when I get started. As far as the currency issue, I would have to do some real research before I would authorize something like that. Cryptocurrency, probably the most research on. I know the least about that this currently. I mean, electronic funds, transfers, things of that nature are pretty standard, and many governments and businesses use them, so those don't really concern me. But getting into the cryptocurrency, I'd have to do some more research before I'd have an opinion on that.
Great. Thank you.
Mr. Hindle?
Jim Hindle. This is one that has been a topic in a lot of different forums. And first and foremost, as Mr. Verdon said, there needs to be some research. I don't want to sound negative because it isn't negative, but I want to sound very cautious. There is a huge risk to the county taking payment in cryptocurrency. Cryptocurrencies are very volatile. So if we are taking payments for a specific revenue stream that we plan on, and we bring it in crypto, and that crypto all of a sudden drops by 40% within the next period, 40% of our revenue is gone unless we convert it into US dollars. The coin of the realm is the US dollar. And that first and foremost has to be the preferred method of transaction. If people want to bring crypto to us, I think we have to be very careful. And in the interim, I think the guideline as we've been pursuing is that if you have crypto, that's great, but we require you to convert it and pay us in US dollars. If we're going to hold crypto and take payments in crypto, I think, whichever one it is, Ethereum, Bitcoin, Dogecoin, we have an investor in the county that's a very big proponent of certain cryptocurrencies. We've got to make sure that we're managing the risk to the county, managing the risk to our cash flow, and managing the risk to our investment sums, because that can be a very volatile and can, at any point in time, could be very beneficial as well, but also could have significant impact on the cash we have available to fund the county's operation.
Should I have a part two?
No, maybe circle back to Dory.
Dory, checking back in with you regarding the question on cryptocurrency.
Hi, sorry about that. I did freeze or something because I didn't hear the question at all. I'm sorry.
No problem.
I'm happy to repeat it. I'm curious about your openness to, within proper guidance and parameters from the state, openness to exploring and or implementing payment systems that allow us to receive payments in either digital or cryptocurrencies.
We don't accept it now. So I would take research and training on my part. I don't feel comfortable doing it until I have the training and the knowledge of it.
Thank you.
Do you have any other?
I do have another question. I like to ask the same questions to all candidates, but we're blessed with three candidates that come from very different backgrounds. And so I guess what I'd like to ask is a variation on the same question to each of them. And that would be for the two gentlemen that are here, I was hoping you could describe some specifics from your recent private sector experience either something that you learned or a skill you acquired, something you can bring from that to apply to this job. And then for Dory, kind of the equivalent question, something that she's learned in the time that she's been working in the office or for the county that really has either shaped how she would approach the job or is something that's of value that can be brought.
Let's start with Dory. Well, her connection is good. So Dory, Commissioner Mitchell is going to ask a question of you first.
Okay.
Dory, did you hear that? Would you like me to repeat it?
Just to make sure that I did hear it all.
No problem. I'm just hoping that, and I know I'm putting all three of you on the spot with this, but hoping that you could share a lesson that you've learned, something that you've learned that's of value in your time working in this office or with the county, maybe something that surprised you didn't know before, but something that you've learned in your time working with the county that you feel particularly qualifies you or would be beneficial in this position.
Well, there's one thing that I've learned in the last 10 years, that working for Story County, you learn something new every day. I feel that working with Vanessa for the last 9 years, my feeling is I just have learned something new every day, and that's why I love my job, and that's why I'm doing what I'm doing.
Great. Great, thank you.
Mr. Burden, you next.
Jason Burden, you know, I come from the private sector, so I'm going to answer this, you know, differently. But one of the latest things that I did, I was part of a merger and acquisitions for a private equity group. And I was the vice president of operations, president of the company. And I had to do due diligence during the pandemic, I would say, uploading over 1,200 documents for review at a very deep financial level. So I think what I've learned through that process, and that wasn't the first time I've done that, but that was definitely the most intense one that I did, is just the ability to just dig so deep into financial situations and peel that onion back so you know exactly what you're getting. And, you know, it worked out well for the owner of the company, and I was able to secure him a $10.6 million sale on his business. And he was very pleased with it. But I just think that financial ability to really dig into the facts is really what I will bring to this table that will be very valuable for you guys.
Great. Thank you.
Jim Hindle, I think, you know, this is trying to pick out a number of things I've learned. I've been very blessed to, in a backhanded way, be confronted with a lot of difficult situations through my career. But the biggest one that I think is a learning experience for me is primarily working with people. And I don't mean that as I love people. What I mean it is when you're working with a team, you have to back that team up. You have to set clear expectations. You have to be able to make sure that people are trained and feel confident that they can do the job and the assignment that's given to them. There is always unexpected consequences. There's always unexpected situations come up. And one of my mantras, one of my management philosophies that I've learned through the School of Hard Knocks is no surprises. If something's going to go bad, let's talk about it early, because surprises are very rarely good when you're working in a public sector or even a private sector. And with that, that means you back up your team. You don't have to make decisions in the snap judgment decisions. Usually you've got time to think. You've got time to look at the issues. You got time to work with people so that the best decision could be done. When you have major automotive manufacturers that are short of material and they're calling and they're saying they're gonna sue you and for millions of dollars because your material isn't there for them to run, people tend to panic. One of the first questions I used to ask the people that I worked with was, is anybody gonna die? If no one's going to die, we have time to think. And I think that's a key thing, because that is what allows people to feel confident in the decisions that are being made. That's what allows people to see transparently how you're making those decisions and that you're coming up with the best way to go about the solution that brings the most people along to get the job done well and get it done in the best interest of all parties.
Thank you. Those are all my questions.
Okay. Do you gentlemen like take a couple minute recess, kind of just process everything that we have heard, or and come back and make a motion, or are you guys ready to make a motion?
I'd be ready to make a motion subject to some discussion here at the table between the three of us.
Okay.
I'm sure we've all evolved our thought process and a position that we would have.
Thank you.
Certainly looking forward to hearing yours, and I'll share mine. And perhaps out of that, it'll evolve an end game for us sometime. So if you'd like, I'll be glad to kick that off.
Please.
As I've sat here this morning and I've listened to all these folks, I'm suspicious that we can't make a bad decision. We have qualified folks here, each one in a little bit different position. Mm-hmm. We have the businessman who has an in-depth knowledge of a broad cross-section of business. And of course, Jim's been with us for years and years and years. We all know him well. He's served this county admirably in a lot of different positions. So I've known Jim a long time, and I think a great deal of him. It strikes me that we're not sitting here electing a department head in a moment.
We can deal with getting rid of that buzzer.
Ready? It strikes me we're not electing a department head for a full year term, Mm-hmm. That's a huge responsibility for three fellows sitting up here and getting acquainted with a lot of people that we already know. Yeah. Our responsibility here is to cover our county's business for about 9 months. And at the end of that 9 month period, the voter is going to decide who they would like to select for a full term. And I respect that process greatly. So I've been sitting here noodling on what would be a wise decision for me to select someone that could take the reins for 9 months and make sure that the ship floats and that we make the right turns of decisions. But I don't see us as being in a time where we're going to be making a lot of far-reaching decisions or delving into the character and the capability of an individual for a full 4 year term. We just need to stay the course, in my opinion, that we're on currently today, and then let the voter decide. And so as I look at all the folks fairly, I think any one of the folks that are looking at this position are certainly capable of covering 9 months. Two of them are going to have quite a learning curve. They're going to come into a situation, as you have identified, that's volatile, that's busy. There's going to be so many decisions to be made, and there's a learning curve for a couple of the folks to even get up to speed on what the county's doing and what's behind the curtain and what's happening at the desks and all those kinds of things. So it strikes me that we have a department right now that has been very successful. I've sat here for 9 years, you guys, and I love Vanessa, and she's done an incredible job. And I know that Doreen has worked with her in this particular position for 10 years. And has seen it grow and change and has adapted. And so if we were to put our county's operational, if you will, for only 9 months, I see it prudent to leave it in the hands of the folks that have been doing it and let the voters decide in 9 months who they would like to put in the position for a four-year term. So generally that's what I've evolved here listening to all of our deliberation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lance. Vice Chair?
Yeah, thank you. And you know, the first thing I think that I'd like to say is I am thrilled that we have three exceptionally qualified candidates to choose from. That's not particularly normal in a small place like this. And I'm grateful to each of them being willing to step up, to throw their hat in the ring and say, I'm willing to take on this responsibility. I think that my thoughts in many ways are very similar to Lance's. You know, in my personal life, I have a fairly high risk tolerance, but in my capacity as a commissioner, that has to be less because the continuity of the operations of the county is at the top of the list. And I think that as much as possible, the voters should be the ones who make the decision. And our job is to get to that point where they can make that decision going forward. I think it's clear that policy changes or decisions on changing how things are done likely are not going to happen in the next year. That if those happen, they'll be down the road. There'll be a lot of different parties involved in that. At a time when the voters can have their say as to who is sitting in that seat to consider those changes, or should we do things differently if that's the case. So I am leaning as well towards having Dory step into this position. I have one concern, and I'm just going to verbalize it. I don't know if there's a solution for it, but the concern is that we're in a particularly tight labor market. And given how busy it's going to be over the next year, and adding in candidacies and running for office potentially, though that, as many of the folks have said, that's back burner, I'm a little concerned that that takes this department to a level of staffing that may be difficult to continue its operations. And what I mean by that is Dory would be stepping into a position which would leave a position vacant or open in a fairly small office, and their capacity would be stretched even further. That's not necessarily for me a reason not to make that decision. It's just something that's been on my mind.
Makes sense.
So the question then would be, and I don't know if we ask the county manager, we ask HR. So if we, I see what you're saying, if Dory is appointed to that position, who then becomes the assistant?
Deputy, yeah.
Right? Does somebody have the answer?
Jamie? Well, I mean, that would be a decision. That would be a decision for
the clerk,
the interim clerk, to make, right? They manage their office. But maybe if there were some options or just so we can better understand how that office will be able to accomplish all the things they need to, basically down first. That'd be great. Yeah, thank you.
You know, the office is budgeted for the three people in the department head. So I think as soon as that vacancy is created in a deputy position, we advertise for it. That person probably comes in and goes right to DMV school so that they can come in and take the DMV functions, and the other deputies can work on supporting the new clerk. You know, I guess just to keep in mind my own two cents is Dory's the wealth of knowledge left there. So whether it's her or somebody else, she's the one either training or doing it. So I think that's important to keep in mind of where that knowledge base is going to stay. And we've been working hard the last couple of months to get everybody trained and ready for this transition.
Thank you.
Do you have something to add, Austin?
Sure. Austin Osborne. Just kind of looking at how we deal with things in the county. We run into these situations here and there. And so I think Clerk's Treasurer Stevens made a good point on how she would normally typically handle that. And then also, I mean, there's the typical recruit from outside, you know, do a posting. That's the pretty obvious one. It appears from the responses here that all three of these folks would run for this office permanently, whether they're appointed or not. And so in this case, as far as Dory or Mr. Hindle or Mr. Verdum, that both of them would not be allowed to be participative in certain elements of the election in that office because of that. So it might be a similar situation, regardless of which way you go. Even if Dory and Jim, or Dory and Jason, were working together, you know, that same thing would still exist. There are temp work, you know, and it's not just getting a temp to go in there fill, but you do have those emergency options. We do work with different agencies to provide staffing needs under certain types of emergencies, and we've used them before. Another option is looking at other departments and even other counties that can provide services. And I really look to Vanessa on this because I don't deal with her circle of folks in other counties, but it's my understanding that in a urgent situation during election season, for example, that there are shared resources. You work with other clerk treasurers in these. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Great. Thank you. Well, and maybe I'll use it as a pitch to the community to be as involved as they can in supporting the election process through volunteering to be poll workers and poll watchers and involved in that process as much as can, is useful and helpful, regardless of what the final decision is.
That's a tough call. You know, I see where you both are coming from. You know, we are cursed with the continuity of government.
I mean, if you have a different thought, I'd be happy to hear it.
You know, I don't know that my thoughts are different. You know, the issue of putting in somebody new into that position temporarily, I see the logic, right? I understand. So I don't have a valid argument against that. I guess that's where that leads me. You know, do we have qualified candidates? I think we do. Leaving it up to the voting public, I have taken that approach many times. So I don't see an issue with that. You know, if that's the way that we're going to lean, then I don't think I'm going to be a roadblock to that. If you guys want to, you know, take it and leave things status quo. I'm not going to be a roadblock to that. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, I generally believe that's a wise decision for us, and make that position clear with you guys. I think it's a safe road for us. I think it's a good road for the county. And also I'm not terribly concerned about the election situation, and Keith has been kind enough to advise us, but I'm not qualified really at all to delve into that. So I think that time can evolve that process for us. And so it might be prudent to stay the course of what we've got now and let that unfold as well. So I think there's more on one side of the ledger to be supportive of the department as it is.
And again, just for the record, Ann Langer, district attorney, Mr. Loomis is there as a private citizen. So he was not advising you on the election. It was his political opinion that he chose to make a statement before the board today, but that as a private citizen and not as advising you as a deputy district attorney.
Noted. Thank you, DA Langer.
You're welcome.
So, are you prepared to make a motion, gentlemen?
You good with it?
Yeah, I can make a motion if it's...
You do them well.
Thank you. All right. Well, thankfully, staff writes them out for me. So basically, I read them well, is what you're saying. So I, Commissioner Mitchell, move to appoint Dorianne Nevin to fill the expected vacancy in the Story County Clerk Treasurer's Office upon the vacation of that office by the incumbent until January 2nd, 2023.
I'll second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion passes unanimously. Thank you to everybody. I know that was a less than ideal scenario to have all the candidates come in here and field questions publicly, but I thank you for your patience. I hope to see you all on the ballot. So thank you. All right, moving on to item number 11.
Just for the record, Ann Langer, district attorney again, Mr. Loomis is coming back in his capacity as the chief deputy DA and will take the meeting from here.
Okay, I know we've been at this for a little bit. Do we need to take another recess before we jump into a presentation? All right, Eric, can you hang tight for a little bit more? We're gonna take a 10-minute recess. We're gonna reconvene at 11:25. 12:25.